Hey there, Quajo here, and if you haven't heard my voice, I'm the new host of the Art of Online Business. Quick update on my new offer. I did not expect the initial launch spots to sell out so fast. I'm talking about Facebook Ad Setup to Success, which is one-on-one Facebook ads coaching for the driven course creator from me, three Zoom calls within a month, and unlimited support in between so that you can run your lead generation campaigns, your launch campaigns, your SLO, self-liquidating offer funnels, exactly like I would, getting all my tips and tricks and strategies, plus just unlimited support inside of Slack or Voxer, or one lady's even doing it from inside of Messenger, with screen recordings, Loom recordings, this sort of thing, questions. This is what I'm doing, but all those limited spots at the initial launch price, they are gone. And I just wanted to explain that out of integrity to the people who took those first spots. The price has gone up, and there's one spot, maybe two, if I do some scheduling jujitsu for May. Otherwise, we're booking into June. You can click on the link in the description below to find out more, or you can go to theartofonlinebusiness.com/call if you need that kind of one-on-one Facebook help. All right, back to the episode.
The reality is we are still at a place where the tools almost aren't even using the AI's capabilities to its fullest, which I know can feel a little like fuzzy to comprehend. But what that means is the landscape of what we're seeing in tools today is probably going to look like kids' toys compared to what we're going to have in 6 to 12 to 18 months, which that gets me really excited.
What's up, my friends? Welcome to today's episode. This is episode number 701. I am Rick Mulready. And if you've not yet heard last week's episode, episode number 700, it is a must listen. I introduced Pick Rick's Brain AI. Could not be more excited about this tool. This is a conversational custom AI chatbot that will allow you to get coaching from me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year at your fingertips. And it is based on a custom, what we call a knowledge base that the chatbot is pulling from, specifically my past 10 years of running an online business and all the coaching calls that I've done and all the questions I've been asked over the years, and also 700 podcast episodes. And I'm really excited about this. And so I'm going to be rolling this out to a pilot group of 100 people. It's $10 a month if you're a pilot user. And then after that, when I roll it out publicly, it'll be very, very nominal fee to access as a membership. And so for the pilot users, if you want to be on the wait list, if you want to be the first to know when I open up the pilot group, it's just 100 people. Again, for the pilot users, it'll be $10 a month. And you can lock that rate in for however long you want to stay in. I'm looking for a group of people to come in and start using it and just give me feedback on it, because I'm going to continue to fine tune the back end so we just keep getting smarter and smarter and smarter at helping you specifically. So I talked more about it last episode. If you want to join the wait list, rickmulready.com/waitlist, and super simple opt-in. You just go there, put your name in and email and click yes, I want to join the waitlist button, and you'll be in. And then I'll notify you when we're ready to get the pilot going. Super excited about it. Now, speaking of AI, on today's episode, my guest today is Rachel Woods. She's someone I've gotten to know. She's just such a cool person. And she's a former data scientist at Meta, working on Facebook ads and Instagram ads from a data scientist perspective. How cool is that? And is also the founder, co-founder, I should say, of the AI Exchange, which I've mentioned here on the podcast previously, which is a membership all about AI and how you can be using AI in your business. We also a conversation about education and so forth. It is hands down the best membership I've ever been in. At the time I'm recording this, it's $12 a month, super reasonable. If you want to sign up for it, go to theaiexchange.com. You can sign up for the membership there. And when you sign up for it, I think there's like a little field that says, hey, how'd you hear about it? Just put my name in there, Rick Mulready. And I think I get, for every two people that I refer, I think I get a free month. So I think you get $6 per referral, but it's not cash, you know? But anyway, like even if I didn't get paid, that's totally fine. I want to support Rachel and her sister, Christy, who are the co-founders of the AI Exchange. Today's conversation with Rachel, we just talk about AI in general. As you know, this stuff is changing so rapidly, like every single day. And we get into things that, you know, some of the things in AI that are really exciting Rachel that she wants to pass along. Rachel shares some of the cooler use cases that she has seen when it comes to AI and business. We also talk a bit about data privacy and permissions and just a really cool overall conversation about AI and business that I think you're going to get a lot of from a very knowledgeable person in the AI space. So without further ado, let's go hang out with Rachel Woods. So you were at Facebook before?
Yep. Started my career out, I guess, officially at Facebook. But then I did a bunch of different internships across marketing and data science and stuff through college.
What is a data scientist?
That's a great question. If you ask 10 data scientists, I think you'll get like 20 answers.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. Because I think even in one individual like team, like the job changes a lot. Or like you could, like my role, if you ask me one week versus like another week, it'd be like, yeah, the job is like pretty different. But I think generally, like I've always gravitated towards roles and projects in data science that are like, how do we answer a business or a product question? Mm-hmm. Using like data that we have, you know, at our disposal. And then how do we like design experiments to drive some ROI or improved value?
Are you taking that approach as you build out the membership, as you build out the AI exchange?
Yeah, I would say it's just more like in my DNA than anything. Mm-hmm. It's kind of why I got into data science was like, I remember literally sitting in a marketing internship, and my job was to figure out what the sentiment was of the product and like how people were talking about the specific feature we launched. And my manager had said, yeah, go read Facebook groups and Reddit forums and see what people are saying. And I was like, cool, but that sounds like a lot of work. Why don't I write some code that just scrapes all of that and then does like a sentiment analysis? And then, hey, when like in 6 months, we could run it again and see how things have changed. And so, and that was just like, I didn't even know the word data science was at that point. But I was like, why don't we do that instead?
So you actually know how to do that? Like you can write code to see, like I asked that question because it's so far outside the scope of like what my brain can comprehend, you know?
It's crazy. I mean, I got deep when I was at Facebook. Like I worked on the ads ranking system.
Yeah.
So where you take, you know, the millions of ads that are in the system at any given point in time, and there's a funnel down to filter through targeting and personalization and predicting whether you're going to like click or not.
Yeah.
And I worked on like the nitty gritties of like compute allocation at different steps. So like if we take 5 times longer to predict this thing, the performance gets to be 10 times better. And like, what does that do for the bottom line, you know, revenue that part of the ads business is responsible for? Like, just like really nitty gritty stuff. And I'm looking at like compute cycle data. Like, I don't even know what this really is.
My listeners' ears just perked up right now when you said working on predicting, you know, ads and how they're showing up and like performance and stuff like that. We may have to have a completely separate conversation on a different episode about that one topic. Yeah. I don't know how much you're able to share, but people are like, ooh, we know if we have an insight into what's actually going on here. So you started the AI exchange. When did you start the AI exchange?
Yeah. So I think you could consider it unofficially started November 1st.
Okay.
Which was when I wanted to get on TikTok and start creating content just a little bit for fun, and basically talked about my experience as a startup founder, which was I did before this. And then this whole crazy thing called AI, where you could now have AI systems that write text for you.
Yeah.
And I remember getting on TikTok being like, guys, you won't believe it. This is crazy. And I think, you know, maybe 10,000 people viewed those videos. Like it felt big at the time, but it was still, looking back, relatively small interest. So that was November. And then, of course, you know, beginning of December is when ChatGPT launched. Mm-hmm. And I remember creating a few videos about ChatGPT and then being like, wow, people are really interested in this.
Yeah.
And so then focused my account fully on AI. At the time, too, there was an explosion of AI tools that a lot of my friends were building. And so we had spun up an early version of the AIExchange.com, which was just a really simple list of all the different AI tools. That quickly became a list that was unmanageable, as we all kind of probably feel yeah. today.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then kind of January 1st was when we decided, okay, I think we're doing this. It, you know, grew really fast and there's a lot of interest and we really felt like we could help people navigate this wave.
Yeah. I want to say I found you. So I started watching, I don't know. I mean, you just came up in my feed because I was starting to watch more, you know, of these ChatGPT videos. People obviously were talking about it in January, but like the members of my accelerator coaching program started talking about it and like how they were kind of using it. And I remember, I kind of laugh at myself now. I remember like, hey, because I'm always talking about like shiny object, right? Like let's be careful. Let's just stay focused on what we're doing. Like shiny object here. And then I think like a week later, I was, all right, I'm going to go try it out. And I was putting together some podcast episode titles and I was using copy.ai at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I'll go check this ChatGPT thing out. And so I put it in, you know, I put in the same prompt into ChatGPT and the output was amazing. I was like, wait a second. So I went back to copy.ai and I put in, you know, the exact same prompt and like just the results were completely different.
Yeah.
And so that it was at that point, I remember it was a Friday. I don't remember what the date was, but then I was like, all right, I'm interested. I'm intrigued now. And so I started watching more videos and then, you know, you started popping up and I was like, wow, you really know what you're talking about here. And I liked how you were delivering it. And so I think I watched for a couple of weeks and then I went through your funnel. I clicked on your link, signed up for your email list. I forget what it was. I forget what I downloaded, but I got something and then I got an email. It was like literally in the first email you introduced the membership. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, what's this all about? And then I was like, wait, $12? Sign me up. Let's get in there. And, you know, as we were talking about before we hit record here, what you and Kristen have built and are building, to be able to stay up on everything that's going on AI in one place is really powerful because as we all know, like there's so much happening on a daily yeah. basis, like so many new tools and like, you know, conversation.
It's crazy.
Like, yeah, it really yeah. is. And so to have that in all one place, it's been awesome. Is the primary pathway into the membership through TikTok for you?
It is. Yeah. I mean, it's been 90%, you know, plus or minus 5%, because sometimes attribution is hard, but it's been 90% TikTok. Recently, we started seeing a lot of growth on Twitter and LinkedIn, but it's still like TikTok has just been an incredible platform for us.
Yeah.
Which as a, you know, an online business builder and marketer is kind of been fun because a lot of people don't think TikTok can be a, you know, top of funnel growth channel for business offerings like this.
Yeah.
Right. It's very, very new. So it's been fun to kind of prove people wrong a little bit on that too.
And you've blown up on there. You're at like, what'd you say, 125,000?
Yeah.
Like very quickly.
Which is crazy. And then I'm really proud of the quality of the audience and the community.
Yeah.
You know, if you go look at like the comment sections, people are asking like really legit questions all the time. So much so that like I spend a lot of time, you know, responding to them where I'm just like, man, at some point, you know, I just need to make 10 more videos just to answer this one question, right? Which is fun. And then, yeah, it's actually, I mean, I think I was setting some, I pulled up my TikTok analytics before this. I'm setting some of the stats, which are like, it's, you know, 90%-ish of the audience is over the age of 25 and 50% over the age of 35, which is not what people expect on TikTok, right?
Yeah. Did you all hear that? So 90% over the age of 25, 50% of Rachel's audience over the age of 35.
It's insane. Cause like we're on TikTok. Like,
yeah,
it's a great platform. And I think a lot of people sleep on it for business, especially.
I agree. And that's why I wanted to kind of, you know, we're not going to talk about TikTok a lot here on the, but I wanted to kind of at least talk about it for that reason, because that's how I came into the membership. That's how I got connected with you. And it's a very welcoming community and really quality people in there. And there's some conversations. Don't get me wrong. There's some conversations going on. I have no idea what's being like. I don't get, it's on the technical side. I have no idea. But I mean, there's marketing channels and automation channels and, you know, get unstuck and news and all this stuff. So yeah, it's the AIExchange.com. You all, if you want to go check out the membership, it really is. It's a great membership that, again, it just houses all the information of what's actually happening in AI, what's changing by the hour. And yeah, there's a lot in there. So what are, as you know, so the audience here that is listening, online course creators, membership creators, or online coaches, you know, they're selling either online courses or they have a membership or they've got a coaching program or, you know, mastermind or something like that. A lot of people are thinking about and hearing about, oh, I can use ChatGPT to do X, Y, and Z. What are the types of things that we should be really looking out for as all this stuff is happening with AI and new things are coming out?
Yeah.
You know, what should we really be focusing on in terms of deciding on a tool, or, you know, is this going to work for me, or how should we kind of go about that process?
Yeah. I mean, so first of all, I'll say we're very early still in this technology. You know, at my core, I'm a nerd. So I bring like the nerd perspective to this, which is that, and I think it's helpful for me looking at these tools. The reality is we are still at a place where the tools almost aren't even using the AI's capabilities to its fullest, which I know can feel a little like fuzzy to comprehend. But what that means is the landscape of what we're seeing in tools today is probably going to look like kids' toys compared to what we're going to have in 6 to 12 to 18 months, which that gets me really excited. So one tactical thing I always recommend to people is like, maybe don't buy that annual plan of that tool.
Yes.
Definitely buy the annual plan of the membership to a community. But no, just the reality is I think the tools and the capabilities are at the early stage of what they're going to be able to help us with in business and in life. But outside of that, some of the things that really excite me are just how easy it is to build like SOPs and processes for your business. And instead of needing to continuously hire and train a team, you can say, hey, can we do a combination of enabling our team to use AI with these SOPs and kind of having more of like an augmented process in a way, right? So I talked to a lot of marketers who have a content calendar and they have a structure of how they repurpose content, especially where they recycle content or they're keeping the same like core content, but they are making it feel different for LinkedIn or for Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, hey, AI is really good at that stuff, especially if you kind of already had that process and that SOP like established.
Yeah. What are some tools off the top of your head that are helping with that process right there? Because that is a very common problem that I hear from people. It's sort of like the hamster wheel of content creation.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, I've created like this podcast, for example, I have the audio and the video. It's like, okay, cool. How do I repurpose this, but yet make it so much easier to do that?
Yeah. I mean, I see most people having success doing this repurposing with kind of building their own, because they take the process that they already do and then they're piecing together ChatGPT and something like Zapier, which can feed ChatGPT into something like Google Sheets.
Yep.
And, you know, it does take a little bit of a learning curve to figure out how to piece those tools together. But the great thing is you can get exactly your process put together in the tool automated using AI, or at least for your team, or, you know, you on Sunday morning when you're going into your process, like it's just so much easier, and like AI is doing a lot of the heavy lifting for you. So I find people just kind of piece things together themselves on that specific use case for AI.
Yeah. That was, you know, and as these tools are adding, like Canva had their big, you know, as we're recording this, it was like, what, a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, where Canva had their, this big presentation on all the AI opportunities that they're pulling in there. One question I do have, and I truly don't know the answer to this. I was going to reach out to a founder probably today or tomorrow about this one tool that I came across as a podcasting tool. Do you happen to know what many of these tools are using? Are they using like GPT-3 or 3.5, or are they able to use the latest? You know, because they all have, a lot of them now are having these, you know, the AI chat in there. They're built into the tool where you can ask it questions and do something with it. But what I'm finding is I can ask it to do the, I can put the exact same prompt into that tool and get a very like sort of cursory, you know, output. Whereas if I do the exact same thing in ChatGPT based on the same, you know, say piece of content, it's, it's vastly superior. Like are most, and I know it's hard for you to answer like specifically, but are most of these tools sort of like, are they catching up, or are they do they not have access to the API? Like, I don't even know. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's a great question. Most of these tools are using OpenAI's APIs. So they're using the same underlying, they call foundation model that powers ChatGPT, which is part of OpenAI's business model. Their whole thing is, okay, we have ChatGPT, the app, but we also want to bring ChatGPT's capabilities into all these different products. It's interesting that you're already like observing differences, because when you're building your own tool, you have some more affordances or customizability, for better or worse, that you can choose to make in your implementation of ChatGPT. And so I think a lot of these tools, and I've talked to people who are building these tools, how they're thinking is they're like, okay, well, let's try to make something that's a little bit more specialized or a little better for this use case. But, you know, sometimes that can be harder than people expect. So maybe you have, you know, then you have examples where you're putting in the same task or the same prompt in some other tool, and you're saying, hey, actually ChatGPT is still better. So
is this something that, and I don't mean to ask an obvious question, but I truly want to know, like, I would assume that as time goes on here, all these tools that are building AI into it will, the AI will improve in the tools, right? Because I'm thinking like you just said, like I can use this tool, but I really want to know that like the output that I'm getting from it is like, is really good.
Yeah.
Versus, okay, I can use this tool for some things, but then I got to pop over to ChatGPT to, you know, do something that I'd love to be able to do over in this tool, but it's just the output isn't very good.
Yeah.
Is like ChatGPT, or like, do you see this sort of continuing to be superior about like the AI that's involved in these tools? You know what I mean? Like Notion, for example, like I just got access to their AI probably 2 weeks ago, finally. And that I find kind of the same thing where I was like, I'm testing like podcast titles. I try it in there, same prompt, put it in the ChatGPT, and it's like, whoa, this is way better over here.
Yeah. I mean, so this is where we're just still so early, and you're kind of uncovering a little bit of the unsettled part of the AI ecosystem right now, I'll be honest, which is, so like Notion is actually using a different AI model provider now. Okay. They are using Claude, which is by Anthropic, which is one of the kind of competitors to ChatGPT, if you will.
Okay.
And then each of these tools, you know, I think their plan and what they're trying to do is improve the AI in the tool over time. But even that, like how you technically do that, how the, you know, AI model provider you're working with lets you do that, all of that's also still very, very early days.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just, it's a really interesting time to be building AI products. And then, you know, I also sit here and I'm using them all the time. And yeah. It's kind of funny to have both sides of that where you're like, oh, you're using Notion AI and you know, oh yeah, because they're on the early beta working with this other provider. So kind of some of that inside baseball, I think it's kind of funny sometimes.
What are some of the cooler use cases that you've seen with, you know, from an online business perspective or marketing across? I know you mentioned, you know, obviously content creation.
Yeah.
What are some other ones that you've seen or SOPs?
So there's a couple different things. One, I mean, there's one area I really want to talk about, which I think is going to be even more relevant probably once this airs, but I'll get there. I'm going to hold back my excitement a little bit. But yeah, in terms of use cases for ChatGPT or like the model behind it, I think I'm seeing a lot of people have a lot of success in customer support, actually, which is one of the nice things about customer support is you have so much example data to go off of because you have all these historic customer emails and responses to feed in as examples to the model. And it will not only then learn how you talk, right? What's your tone of your business in customer support situations, but also what the content is of the right response. You know, a simple example like, hey, I have a question about how to sign up for the membership. Okay, here's how to sign up for the membership. And so you have all these good examples of how to answer those questions.
Yeah.
As I'm seeing a lot of people implement AI to help with triaging those questions. Also, giving your customers a really easy way to get their question just answered by putting a kind of ChatGPT style chat box on your support docs or on your FAQs.
Yeah.
And that to me is really exciting because I mean, I've done a lot of customer support in my time. And while it's really fun to interact with the customers, a lot of times, you know, you have just so many emails to get through. And so then you want to give a good response. And then it's just one of these types of slogs that a lot of businesses have to do. But yeah, I guess dovetailing into that, the part that really excites me about this technology is starting to get good at is actually going and doing things for you, which in the customer support example can be something like, hey, I need a refund on my shoe order because it never, you know, was delivered if I'm Amazon. Okay, well, these AI systems can actually learn to go interact with your back end process for processing a refund for a shoe order. And of course, you want a human to like make sure that that was done correctly, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you don't want to give it all the, you know, control, but that's incredible to think about the idea that these systems not only can draft a response for you, not only can figure out what needs to be done, but actually go and do it for you.
Yeah. I think that's where, and as I mentioned on the podcast here, within the past month or so, we were using it, I think, and I'm doing this too, right? But I think we're using AI and the capabilities within, say, ChatGPT on its most, to your point, Rachel, like on its most basic level, like, hey, write me an email about whatever, come up with podcast titles, write me a video script, or those are all great. But it's like, okay, what can we actually do with this technology that, or begin to do, that will really start to move the needle?
And I think it's, I mean, and it's not, I think one distinction is important to make is it's not just like, oh, there are some beginners or like the broad public doesn't understand the technology to its fullest. Like it's the people building these tools and these products who do not understand what it's capable of to its fullest, or they have a sense, but I think everybody across the board feels like we really haven't unlocked what we really have sitting in our hands, which to me, that's exciting.
Yeah. So. Now, what about on the flip side? There's the other people where, not other people, like there's a fear around it. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think change is scary, especially when change is happening fast. And it's really difficult to imagine what the world and what our jobs look like a couple of years from now. I think, you know, one thing I've changed my thoughts on since I started my account in November was originally I thought this was going to be as big of a change as like the iPhone or cloud computing, which were major changes in the way that we worked or the way we had, you know, had products in our lives. But I think my like conviction has grown. This is more internet scale.
Yeah.
And it's the internet, while we also have the internet to accelerate how quickly the internet is coming up. You know, part of the internet's adoption curve was people like getting on the internet.
Right.
And that's just not a problem with this technology wave. You already have access to AI like in crazy amounts, and considering how like early and new it is.
Yeah.
So I think I think it's very fair to be like, I don't know what's going to happen, because I think it's just happening really fast and changing a lot. But on the other side, like, I'm a very pragmatic optimist where like, okay, well, people have always experienced change. We've always adapted. Look how many jobs the internet has created for people that we couldn't even have described before.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of what you and I do, people would have been like, that's a job, right?
Yeah, right. That's a thing.
Yeah. So I think we're going to figure it out, but it is happening fast. There's no doubt about that. I don't know. How do you feel about it?
I feel very much the same, in that I think that we're at a point right now where it's coming, you know, there's no stopping it at this point. Mm-hmm. So we can either start to embrace it and to look at it, how can this help us? And yeah, of course, there's the, on the complete other side, you know, the dangers of it. But I think that obviously we need to be aware of it. We need to educate ourselves as much as possible. But I think because of like, this train isn't slowing down, it's only going to get faster.
Yep.
Like, let's embrace it and see how it can help us and use it to the best of our ability, continue mm-hmm. to learn it. Because I really think, as I mentioned on the podcast here before, like, it's the people that are not going to embrace it, and it's the people that are not going to embrace it and learn it and stuff like that, that kind of be kind of left in the dust a little bit here. And so, I think we proceed with caution, but at the same time, like, some really cool things that we can be doing here.
A new mantra I've been saying lately is like, technology just doesn't get uninvented, right? Like, it's here.
Yeah.
And we need to figure out how to adapt with it. And I think just having the honest, open conversations and open mind about that's the new reality is what's going to serve us best, right? As individuals, as a society, on every dimension.
100%. Yeah. I mean, we can talk about this forever. I think I'd love to have you back on the show here several more times, just to kind of maybe make this like a sort of a regular series where we're talking about this. Is there anything like you think that obviously there's a million things we didn't talk about today, but is there something that you think like we really should touch on right now?
I think one of the biggest trends that I'm watching right now, especially as a business owner myself and thinking about the business owners and leaders that I work with, is just how important it is to focus on really getting a sense of AI literacy right now. Hmm. You know, most people didn't have AI in their vocabulary, you know, nearly at the same level or even at all, you know, 6 months ago.
Yeah.
Almost nobody had AI in their 2023 budget or roadmap, right?
Yeah.
This is not something we like saw coming
right.
in our 2023 planning. And I think recognizing that this is a major shift and slowing down and kind of building up some of the core literacy around how to make decisions and how to evaluate opportunities in this phase is really important. One of them in particular being data privacy and data ownership. Mm-hmm. And I know it's not fun to read the terms of use in terms of these tools and these products we're using, but it's important to realize that that is just a reality of these systems that are coming out today. ChatGPT specifically, you know, they've been very clear from the start that it's a research preview, it's a free tool, it's a tool that's learning from you. And so your inputs and the outputs that it is generating for you are in their remit to use for the future training of the model. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that's a bad thing inherently. In fact, I think a lot of us want our tools to get better and learn from us over time. Like, that sounds great. But it's just really important to realize what that means and then be able to have the confidence to navigate, okay, where are places where I don't want that to be true? How do I work with the right providers that don't use my data to train the model in the future?
Yeah.
Or understand how to ask those questions? And that just is something, it's one example of kind of this broader bucket of just AI literacy that I really feel like now is the time to invest in it. It's fun to try all the tools, but now is really the time to like kind of get used to this new language or new things to ask.
Yeah. And that was one of the resources I really liked one of in the membership, where you have like sort of like a foundational glossary of terms, if you will, like what all this stuff. And I still don't know, like, you know, I still don't understand so much, but just having that knowledge of like, oh, okay, this is what LLM is, you know, like that, just basic terms that are being used now in the AI space and the AI discussion, right? It's totally, you know, we do need to educate ourselves.
Yeah. And I think that, like, I don't know about you, but every time I feel like I understand something deeper, I feel a lot more confident making decisions in it. And it gets a little less scary too, right?
For sure. I do want to ask you one last question. Mm-hmm. I think it would be like, we do need to mention Bard. You know, like I've been reading we're recording this on April 4th. So by the time this episode comes out here in a few weeks, who knows? Bard may have, you know, improved. I know that, you know, Google CEO came out and said, yeah, we're making a whole bunch of improvements to it, et cetera, et cetera. Where do you see things right now?
I think, look, OpenAI is clearly the lead in many dimensions. They're have the widest distribution. They have the most powerful model as of recording right now, right? Yeah. But I think zooming in too closely on today's state, like, would make us think that that's going to, you know, it's an end, it's a finished game, right?
Yeah.
And it's just not.
Yeah.
The teams at all of these companies are extremely talented. A lot of them have worked at multiple of these companies.
Yeah.
And my hope is that we have a competitive and healthy ecosystem of AI model providers. And I think a lot of people really stand behind that belief. So I expect we're going to have a better Bard in the near future. You know, Claude is growing in popularity and capabilities, and there are other players that we're going to see emerge too. Yeah.
It's really cool. And for everybody listening, by the way, if you don't want to pay, you know, for ChatGPT Plus to get access to GPT-4, which is the latest one at the time we're recording, you can go through Bing and like, if you're like, there was a wait list. I don't know if it still is, but for some reason, and maybe you might know the answer to this, Rachel, I can't access it. I have it, but I keep getting this error where I click like chat, you know, all right, let's do this. Let's chat. And it's that box that sort of gives you the example of what's like, what it's about. But I'm like, okay, chat. And then it launches a new tab with the exact same thing. And I looked up the other day and I'm like, this is a known bug, apparently. They're like, oh, clear your cookies and log out and log back in. I've done all those things and I still can't do it. So I have literally not been able to test within Bing. But
test Bing.
Yeah.
You know, if there was a good example of how early we are in this space, I think that's one.
Exactly. Exactly.
They have a bug where probably a lot of people can't access it. And they still haven't fixed it, right?
Yeah.
And but hopefully soon. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be a crazy next couple of months. And I feel like I've been saying that for a couple of months, but it's true.
So follow you on TikTok. What is your TikTok username?
I'm The Rachel Woods.
The Rachel Woods. And the AIExchange.com.
Yes.
You can sign up for the membership there as well.
Yep. And we're going to put I have a special link to give you. For a 1 month free. So people can come check it out. And I think like really what we're trying to do is just be exactly what you said, that, you know, one place to get really high quality information so that people can feel really confident in navigating all these decisions that we have to make right now.
Yeah.
And yeah, really have loved having you be part of it.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun. I was thinking about, I've never been part of a membership where I'm like, yeah, I have no, like, I'm in. Like, it's like, I'm not going anywhere. Whereas I've been other memberships, I'm like, yeah, I'll try this for a few months. I don't know. Just oddly thinking about that yesterday, I'm like, yeah, this is not something that I ever plan on. Like, as long as it's around, which I don't see you, it's only going up from here. I plan on being around for a very long time, and not a lot of memberships I can say that about.
Man, so. We got to get that testimonial on something.
We'll have that clip right there.
No, but yeah, and this is fun. I mean, there's so many things to talk about in AI, but
yeah,
we'll have to do this again.
For sure. Well, thank you, Rachel, for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
All right. Hope you got a ton out of this one with Rachel. Again, go over and join Rachel's and Christy, her sister's membership. It's called the AI Exchange. Just go to the AI Exchange, theaiexchange.com. And when you fill it out, when you sign up, it's like $12 a month when I'm recording this. It's $12 a month, and just put my name in there when you sign up. And I think I get a little bit of credit there. So happy to support that membership. It's amazing. And again, if you want to join the wait list for my AI chatbot, which we are rolling out, called Pick Rick's Brain, go to rickmulready.com/waitlist. And I'm going to be opening this up to a pilot group of 100 people. So if you want to be the first to come and use the chatbot, which I'm super excited about. Again, if you haven't heard last week's episode, episode number 700, I talk all about it. And so go check that out. Join the waitlist, rickmulready.com/waitlist. And thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate you, my friend. Until next time, be well. I'll chat with you soon.
Do you want to avoid the 7 biggest mistakes that burn through course creators' ad money? I see these over and over and over again, and I put them together in a mini email series. This is not fluff. Each of the 7 mistakes, I also have a recorded video tutorial showing you inside of Facebook Ad Manager how to fix those mistakes. This is good, solid, and it will save you money or help you make more money with your Facebook ads. Click down in the show notes below. You'll see the link, and you can go download it right now for free.